When I was about 5 years old, I thought I was going to receive a bicycle for Christmas. And I had all sorts of things figured out what I was going to do with that bicycle. And I just knew I was going to get it. And so Christmas morning came and I snuck out of bed and I went to see that bicycle. And it wasn't there, but I was still convinced that I just hadn't seen it. It was still there. And so I got up the next morning and I didn't receive a bicycle. And it was a big letdown. As a matter of fact, all the presents I got, I mean, they just didn't live up to a bicycle. And that just was not a very happy day for me. This morning I want to talk about expectations. Because if our expectations aren't realistic, we're going to be let down. We're always going to be sad. We're not going to be rejoicing. We're not going to be happy. We're not going to be fulfilled in our lives because we are expecting too much. And I'm not talking about downplaying expectations where we feel good about nothing. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about being realistic. And the first thing I want to talk about this morning is being realistic in about our place in life. As we've already read in our scripture reading this morning from Matthew chapter 7, most people aren't going to obey the Lord. Most people aren't going to be Christians. Most people aren't going to be living the Christian life. And our first expectation, our most important expectation, is to be a Christian. And let me suggest to you, if we are a faithful Christian, a child of God, that we have met our primary objective in life. And if something were to happen, but perhaps we're an invalid, perhaps we couldn't do anything else, perhaps we couldn't even come to church, that our expectations would still be met and we could still be happy and have fulfilled lives. You know, we could be the President of the United States, the most powerful person upon the face of the earth, walking this earth right now. But if we're not a Christian faithful to God, then we failed. We could be an astronaut or a movie star, but if we're not a Christian, we failed. And we hopefully would not have met our most important expectation. But as a Christian, we have met that top priority, that top expectation in life, and because of that, we all should be rejoicing no matter what else is occurring in our lives. Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 16. And I want to remind all of us that we're all paying a price to do this in our life. You know, after we've been a Christian for a while, it becomes easier, or at least it should become easier over the years. Oh, yes, we're still going to have temptation. We're still going to have to fight our battles. But I tell you what, being a Christian for me today is a lot easier than it was when I was unfaithful to God and I was lost in sin and I had unsurmountable obstacles to overcome in my life. And we have to remind ourselves that we're paying this price and that you as a Christian today, you are paying this price and therefore you are meeting all of these expectations in your life. Remind yourself, verse 24, look at the verse with me. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. You're doing that. You're meeting that expectation. And take up his cross. You're doing that and meeting that expectation. And then Jesus says, and follow me. You're doing that and you're meeting that expectation. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You are losing your life. You've given your life over. It's no longer your life. You're meeting that expectation by faithfully serving God. So we must realize that as a Christian, we are meeting our greatest expectation. And therefore, there should be great fulfillment in that. Also, turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm sorry, I forgot to correct that on the PowerPoint. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 10. Now, I want you to realize something here about the Israelites. And Paul is using this scripture. And he is teaching us the importance is not in the physical, but it is in the spiritual things. And here the children of Israel, they were wandering throughout the wilderness. And chapter 10, verse 10 of 1 Corinthians. And he's telling us, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. And so as a faithful child of God, as we realize the expectations which we're meeting in our life, the great obstacles that we're overcoming, that we're not grumbling no matter what our position in life is. No matter if we are some of the brethren in Zimbabwe and Ethiopia who are struggling just to feed themselves day to day and to feed their children, and they are consumed with the fact of just having children in, just having food in their children's mouths. Our brethren are just consumed with that. Yet they are not to grumble, they're not to complain, yet they are succeeding their greatest expectations in life, and they have a reason to rejoice. And so for us, it's much more than that. We must put our priorities not on the physical, but on the spiritual. Not on the socioeconomic position we may have in life, but on the spiritual. Not on the material possessions, but on the spiritual. And yes, there is a price to be paid for doing that. Paul says to Timothy, "For we have brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering with these, we shall be content." So let me suggest to you that having met the great expectation in life to be a faithful child of God, He promises us our food and our covering. Therefore, we have nothing to be down about, to be sad about, to be depressed about, but to rejoice and glorify God because our greatest expectation has been met. Not like the little boy who didn't get the bicycle for Christmas and who was all sad and down and depressed that day. We're not that way. Because our expectation has been met. As a Christian, our primary expectation is to faithfully serve God. Well, let's talk about our expectations in service to God. As a Christian, our service, just not overcoming sin and being spotless and being holy, but our service, the things that we actually do. Turn your Bibles with me over to Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8. And from the Old Testament, and Paul also uses this in Romans chapter 9, this analogy that God is a potter and we are clay. And we should look at our life in this way. I'm clay. God molds me. He's put me into this world in a certain day, in a certain age, and my expectations must be adjusted thusly. In chapter 64, verse 8. "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you our potter, and all of us are the work of your hand." Now that's the way we have to look at it as God's children, faithful to Him. Now He is the potter, I am the clay, He's making, He's molding. Some brethren have a very difficult time in Zimbabwe, in Ethiopia, and other places. They are the clay. God has put them there at that time to deal with the things which are there. He has put us here in the United States of America to be prosperous in our day and time, and thus our expectations must be adjusted according to that. Remember the parable of talents in Matthew chapter 25, that God gave to each one according to his ability. And when we think about our place in this life, and when we think about our service to God, we must realize that God is in control. He is the one who is giving to us according to our ability. And when we look at the things God has given to us and blessed us with, and then we make an analysis in our lives, that our talents are given to us according to our ability, and that we work until the Master returns, and that we are faithful in this, and that we'll be rewarded. Our expectation is for God to give us as He wills. That's our expectation. You know, as a young preacher, I was going to go out and save the world. You know, but before I became a full-time gospel preacher, you say, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a car and I'm going to put a great big neon sign on it. I'm going to drive up and down the highways and just go out and do work like nobody else has ever done. That wasn't reasonable. So we take what God gives us. To those brethren who are struggling so much in places like Ethiopia, their expectations have to be much lower than ours. You look at our expectations, you look at our resources, you look at the amount of money in our treasury. I bet you could take all the congregations in the Philippines and the Ethiopia and Zimbabwe all combined, and they would not have a monthly, certainly not the amount of money we have in our treasury to work with. Therefore, our expectations are different. There's also persecution to go along with this. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, as Paul says, all who desire to live godly will suffer persecution. Our expectation is to serve God as the clay, as He makes and He molds, as He gives us the ability and the things to work with, but also we expect to suffer persecution as we do that. Remember the brethren in the book of Revelation. These Christians suffered. Their faith was tested. And why did that occur? Why did that occur? I think in large part it occurred to prove a point to the world and to Satan and all the nations that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that He is ruling over the nations as God's Son. And that is repeated over and over and over. And so these brethren suffered at the hands of the nations atrocities greater than that of Hitler. And they did so as their place in life, as God, their potter, molded and made them in their generations. And they were serving Him at a great price. God has placed us in the world in which we live. We cannot pretend to live in the first century or the second century, or the third century or the fourth century. We cannot pretend to live in the first part of the 20th century. We live today, and we must have the expectations of today. You know, some brethren suffer from what I call martyr syndrome. That they think to be a faithful Christian, they have to be suffering like a first century or a second century Christian. And so they go out picking fights with people all the time. With arguing and being angry and being mad and all sorts of things like that. I call them dragon slayers. You know, they make up fictitious dragons that have to be slayed and they have to be brought down. And then they think they're being persecuted so bad, unless that happens, they don't think they're fulfilled in their life. They're trying to live in the ages that are gone. We live today in our day and age, and our expectations must be adjusted properly according to our abilities. Well, let's talk about comparing ourselves to others, because this is natural to do. The Apostle Paul compared himself to others. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, he compared himself to the saints, that he was least of all the saints. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he compared himself to the other apostles, that he was least of all the apostles because he had persecuted the church. It's right for us to compare ourselves to others. That way we can balance ourselves. Am I doing what I ought to be doing? Am I as diligent as I ought to be? Could I increase my expectations? Or maybe are my expectations unrealistic? And so it's good to look at others and evaluate ourselves. Well, we also notice in Romans chapter 12, as we do that, that we're all equal. And turn your Bibles over there with me, because I want to bring out one point from Romans chapter 12. That all of us are equal. It doesn't matter if some are bedridden. It doesn't matter if some are powerful in teaching and preaching and proclaiming the Word of God and travel all throughout the world. It doesn't matter if maybe it was some of the brethren maybe 100 years ago and do a gospel meeting and 100 or 200 people are baptized all in 1 or 2 weeks. All are equal in the eyes of God. Notice verse 3. We all do not have the same work to do. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgments, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given us. Now, I want you to notice something here. He's not talking about the supernatural gifts here. Each of us is to exercise them accordingly. He's talking about supernatural, if prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. Now, notice verse 7. If service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so most of those things are not the supernatural gifts. And so we are all different. God making and molding us, and we are the clay, we have different abilities. When we're younger, we may have some abilities. When we're older, we have other abilities. When we're much older, all those abilities are gone again. And so our expectations must adjust to who we are, what we are, the things God has given to us, and the abilities that we have. Remember the parable of the sower. The sower went out and sowed on four types of ground. And you and I as Christians, we're the good type of ground. And therefore, we have met our biggest expectation we've already talked about today. But with that ground, then the crop yielded some 30, some 60, some 100. And so everybody wasn't the same. And they had different abilities as we do today. Remember in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, Peter confessed that Paul had this wisdom that was extraordinary. And it said some of these things, as he was writing in Scripture, that they were hard to understand. And it appears that Paul was given a measure of wisdom that was greater than all the other apostles. And he was given the thorn of the flesh because of the great things. I believe that's him in 2 Corinthians 12. The great things that he saw that could not even be uttered with mortal tongue. And so here is Peter in one way. Paul had this wisdom that was so great. And he's writing in Scripture and it's hard to understand. And so even Peter seems to be confessing these things. And Peter realized that there were some apostles that possibly had some things that they could do even greater than he could. Our expectations must be realistic. One point in life we may be a hundredfold Christian. Another point we may be 30. One point in our life the gospel may spread rapidly, as years and years ago, but in another part of life, it may not. And so our expectations have to adjust to our day and our age and our culture. When our expectations are realistic, we're happy, we're fulfilled, we're doing God's work that He's given us for our day and our age and our culture and our community, and we're fulfilled in doing that. As we look at other Christians and we compare ourselves, the comparison I think should be this: I'm doing the best that I can do today. Now, I might can do better tomorrow. I may be better equipped tomorrow. But I'm doing the best that I can do today. And if we're doing that, striving, setting goals, trying to become better in our service, knowing that we can improve, but for today, I'm doing the best that I can do, then we are meeting our expectations. And we can be happy and fulfilled, rejoicing Christians. Well, let me talk about one more thing, and that is expectations of church growth. The Apostle Paul was not always successful. You know, sometimes he would preach to individuals that would reject him. He preached the gospel to Felix and to Festus. They rejected him. He preached the gospel to many Jews, and many of them rejected. He preached to many Gentiles, and many of them rejected. He preached to philosophers, and many of them rejected. Paul was not always successful. Many things were out of his control. We have to realize that God is the one who is supremely in control of all of these things. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We see as the Apostle Paul, although he was not always successful, that he made the best of every situation. We see that's how his success was gauged, that he never gave up, that he always fought the good fight, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, we see that God gives the increase. And that's the first thing we want to notice here as we see from this verse. At the end of the verse, God was causing the growth. And so we can be the best Christians we can be. We can be the best preachers we can be. We can be the best teachers we can be. We can be the best evangelists and personal evangelists and all this we can be. But it still comes down to God. You know, I asked a preacher one time, I said, what is the thing you struggle with the most? And he was up in Rome, Georgia. And he says, we're living in a very affluent community, and that's what we struggle with the most. You know, sometimes I think that if we had another depression, that would help us get the message out, because people's ears would be ready. People would be looking for something. They would need something. And it was during that period of time that the church was growing exponentially. But we're not in charge of depressions. God has given us our day and time. He's given us our community. And we're living in a day and a time and a community when people's ears are dull of hearing. A lot of the things that we do as Christians and church growth and getting out the message depends on God and does not necessarily depend on us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, our job is to water and to plant. And that's how we judge our success. Are we planting and are we watering? Are we spreading the seed and then are we cultivating and then are we watering? There may not be any response. But there might be like some with the Apostle Paul says, you've learned so much, you're just crazy, you're mad, and we may be getting that response. But our expectation is not necessarily for millions and millions of that. It'd be great if millions obeyed the gospel. But it's that we water and that we plant. And that we're a faithful church. You know, we can control what happens here. What's going on with us as a congregation. We can't control all the things out there. We can control whether or not we're a faithful congregation. Whether we're a growing congregation. Whether we're the place where individuals can come and they can learn about God and they can become Christians and they can grow in the Lord. We can control this little group right here. That's what we can control. And we see that God has used us in the past. And it's my prayer, and I know it's your prayer, that God is going to continue to use us as we are doing what we can do as a group to be that congregation. Where he can lead and he can direct people. Where they can grow and they can flourish and they can become more spiritual and do the Lord's work. Our expectation is to plant and to water and to be the congregation we can be. Expectations, faithfully serve God. Do our expectations being appropriate for the day and the time and according to our abilities. Our expectations doing the best we can do today. Planting and watering as God gives the increase. And then, brethren, let's not be like the little boy who is so sad and down and depressed because he didn't get a bicycle. Let's not be like maybe some brethren who are so down and depressed because they've not been crucified lately. But let's be rejoicing in the Lord because of the expectations we are meeting. Having set appropriate goals, rejoicing in the Lord. And I hope you look at your life this morning and you are rejoicing and that you are happy because of the expectations you're meeting in your life. We're going to extend the gospel invitation now, number 279. If you'll turn your song books over there. He is able to deliver thee. And then this is the greatest expectation. If you're not a Christian this morning, or if you're not faithful to the Lord this morning, I hope you have this expectation for your life, that you want to go to heaven, and because of that, you want to serve God. And now this morning, you can meet that expectation. And just like the Ethiopian eunuch went away rejoicing. Why? It's the greatest thing he could have done that day or any other day. You can have that joy today. And then you can maintain it through all of your life. We can help you to all this morning. Why don't you step to the front now as we stand and sing.